White Knight 2 makes its first flight. A Continental 737 veers off a Denver runway. And Ray LaHood's nomination becomes official. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 22, 2008. There's been another milestone in the commercial space race. White Knight 2, the composite mothership for Virgin Galactic's Spaceship 2, took to the skies over the Mojave Desert for a one-hour test flight at 8:15 a.m. Pacific Time Sunday morning. Powered by four Pratt & Whitney PW308A turbofans, White Knight 2 is designed not only to provide a launch platform for Spaceship 2, but to have enough lifting capacity to participate in unmanned launches of payloads including satellites. White Knight 2 has been named Eve by Sir Richard Branson in honor of his mother. The National Transportation Safety Board has dispatched a GO team to Denver to investigate the crash of a Continental Airlines Boeing 737. Flight 1404 to Houston ran off the side of runway 34 right on takeoff about 6:20 p.m. Mountain Time Saturday. Passengers told the Associated Press the aircraft's nose raised in the air, then dropped suddenly back down before the aircraft left the runway with its right wing on fire. Check back for updates on this story at aero-news.net. It's official. Illinois Republican Congressman Ray LaHood is President-elect Barack Obama's nominee to replace Mary Peters as head of the U.S. Transportation Department. In announcing the choice, Obama called LaHood an outstanding public servant and stressed he was committed to finding the best person for the job, regardless of party. LaHood, who has advocated improving the state of Illinois' transportation infrastructure, including local airports, said, quote, "We have a task before us to rebuild America. I understand what good infrastructure and transportation means to local communities," unquote. House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chairman James Oberstar, a Minnesota Democrat, predicts LaHood will make a superb transportation secretary. Quote, "What Ray LaHood brings to the department and what the department needs is a managerial talent and the right temperament to get the job done," unquote. Aerobatic pilot Patty Wagstaff appeared in a Wisconsin court Friday to face charges stemming from a July 31st incident at Whitman Regional Airport during EAA Air Venture last summer. The 57-year-old pleaded no contest to first offense drunken driving and a misdemeanor charge of resisting an officer. A related charge of refusing to submit to breathalyzer and blood alcohol tests was dropped as part of a plea bargain. Winnebago County Assistant DA Adam Levin told the court, quote, "This was an unpleasant display of somebody thinking they were more special than others," unquote. The Oshkosh Northwestern Report's defense attorney Michael Lim countered that the allegations had been exaggerated. Winnebago County Circuit Court Judge Barbara Key imposed a $500 fine plus court costs and an 8-month revocation of Wagstaff's driver's license. Wagstaff had no comment except to say EAA has invited her to perform again at AirVenture 2009. Reports reaching ANN say the pilot of a 2007 Cirrus SR-22 had an engine quit during a flight over the inhospitable terrain of St. Mary Parish, Louisiana, shortly after midnight Friday morning, local time. Based on reports from unofficial sources, the plane had recently undergone maintenance. As in more than 20 previous cases, the pilot elected to deploy the Cirrus Airframe Parachute System, or CAPS. The FAA report lists substantial damage to the aircraft, but no injury to the pilot. An aerial photo provided by ANN reader Daryl Kristen shows the plane resting slightly nose down on the bank of a small stream in a heavily wooded area. Cirrus is the only manufacturer of Part 23 certified aircraft to include this type of parachute as a standard aircraft feature. Up next on ANN, it turns out a plane missing near the Bermuda Triangle was stolen. NBAA shortens its inaugural light business aircraft show. And the FAA is way behind in replacing its dilapidated buildings. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 22nd. I'm Paul Plagg. The Bermuda Triangle certainly has its secrets, but one of its most recent mysteries has been cracked. A Britton-Norman Trilander, with 12 on board, disappeared a week ago today near the Triangle. The search was suspended Wednesday. Initial reports identified the aircraft as a missing airline flight bound for New York from the Dominican Republic, but later reports indicated the plane had actually been stolen. Dominican authorities now tell the Associated Press they've determined the pilot was Adriano Jimenez, who holds only a U.S. student pilot certificate. He used to have a rotorcraft rating, but that certificate was revoked after he was caught operating multi-engine fixed-wing aircraft in 2006. The Trilander's owner tells the AP he hired a pilot to fly the accident plane to the Dominican Republic to show it to an interested buyer, but when he landed, Jimenez hijacked the aircraft and took off with 11 passengers. Authorities now believe Jimenez was flying illegal immigrants to the U.S. U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Barry Baena said Jimenez sent a distress call about 35 minutes after taking off over the Atlantic in low visibility conditions. You can blame this on the economy. The National Business Aviation Association announced Friday its inaugural Light Business Airplane Conference has been reduced from 3 days to two. The event will now be held Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th, in San Diego, California. Other changes include limiting sizes for indoor exhibits to a maximum of 20 by 20 feet, cutting attendance fees 50%, and dropping indoor exhibit fees 20%. NBAA President Ed Boland says the association, quote, is adjusting LBA 2009 to ensure that the conference offers exceptional educational content while also remaining manageable and affordable. This is about tightly focusing an inaugural conference for a very important segment of the business aviation community so that it provides real and tangible value in a very challenging economy, unquote. NBAA adds it has worked closely with organizers of independent events that were planned for the same weekend of LBA to make sure they remain well-coordinated with a revised schedule. A report requested by Representative James Oberstar, chairman of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, was released Wednesday by the Transportation Department's Inspector General's Office. It offers a grim assessment of the physical condition of the nation's air traffic control facilities. Common problems include control tower windows that fog up with condensation, ceilings that drip, and buildings that have far exceeded their planned useful life. Of the 420 FAA air traffic control centers, a majority are over 30 years old, and 15 facilities are over 50 years old. The expected useful life of the buildings when constructed was 25 to 30 years. The FAA admits it has a backlog of needed projects that totals $240 million, a figure the agency expects to pass $380 million by 2020. National Air Traffic Controllers Association spokesman Doug Church said the issue of facility improvements, quote, has been one of our top concerns for the last several years as we've seen our workplaces deteriorate around the country, unquote. A Piper Saratoga on approach to Ohio's Akron-Canton Airport about 6 p.m. Friday went down about 3 miles short of the runway, taking the life of Michael Connell, the pilot and sole occupant. Connell was en route from College Park, Maryland to Akron on an IFR flight plan. Airport spokeswoman Christy Van Alken said there were reports of freezing rain in the area at the time of the accident. FAA and NTSB are investigating, but a nonprofit group called the Velvet Revolution is already demanding the Ohio Attorney General and the U.S. Department of Justice intervene. It seems the 45-year-old Connell was an IT expert in the current Bush administration. The group claims he was directly implicated in the alleged rigging of George W. Bush's 2000 and 2004 election results under the direction of Karl Rove, and that threats had been made against the lives of Connell and his wife, Heather. Still ahead, Israel hustles to restore its aviation safety rating. Forward Vision gets an STC for Cirrus retrofits. And the world's most famous GA pilot catches a break from the DOT. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. On Friday, the FAA changed Israel's aviation safety standard rating to Category 2, following an assessment of the country's Civil Aviation Authority. But it's not what you might think. The agency pointedly noted that the rating is not related to security issues. A Category 2 rating may involve a country's lacking laws or regulations necessary to oversee air carriers in accordance with international standards, or that its civil aviation authority doesn't meet international standards in one or more areas such as technical expertise, trained personnel, record keeping, or inspection procedures. The change means Israeli air carriers will not be allowed to establish new service to the United States. FAA says Israel has an aggressive action plan to correct all areas of concern so that their safety oversight system fully complies with standards and practices set by the International Civil Aviation Organization. As far as security is concerned, Israel has some of the toughest and most effective policies on the planet. Cirrus Design made waves at AOPA Expo 2008 with the announcement that its Perspective EVS Enhanced Vision System was available on new SR-22 G3s equipped with Perspective avionics. Now, similar technology is available for SR-20s and 22s already in the field. Patrick Farrell, CEO of Forward Vision, joined with OneSky Aviation President Kerry Foster last week to announce the granting of STC authorization for its EVS-100 infrared sensor on the Cirrus SR-20 and 22. The companies had hoped to announce the STC much sooner, but ironically, weather delays preempted flight testing. The Cirrus STC program is the first in a series of general aviation retrofits under development by the company. The price of the entire kit is $17,500 MSRP, including the sensor. Among the teams which have registered to compete in the Google Lunar X Prize, one which joined early on has been known for the past year only as Mystery Team. It turns out entrepreneur Michael Joyce had yet to recruit team members. That's happened now, and the team was officially announced at a press conference Thursday at the NASA Ames Research Center. Next Giant Leap, or NGL, is based in the United States. Joyce comments, quote, "Our first year was well spent, recruiting the best possible team members and building the strong working relationships required to reach our goals. With a world-class team we have assembled, we are ready to take the next giant leap forward, required to win the Google X Prize and establish NGL as a commercial lunar services company," unquote. The lead systems integrator is Microsat Systems, which in May was awarded a contract to build 18 Orbcomm satellites with an option for 30 more. The difficult task of landing safely on the moon will be the responsibility of Draper Laboratory. Draper has been involved in space guidance, navigation, and control since the Apollo era. The Department of Aeronautics and Astronautics at MIT will involve engineering students in the quest to win the competition. The MIT team includes five-time shuttle astronaut Jeff Hoffman and Professor David Miller, developer of the innovative Spheres payload on the International Space Station. You can read about additional team members and follow the competition at www.googlelunarxprize.com. And finally, the most experienced VFR pilot ever will be retracing his most famous flight this Wednesday night. We should all appreciate the gifts we get from Santa Claus, because at the current rate of knee-jerking in the name of Homeland Security, he might not be able to deliver gifts within the U.S. at all within a couple of years. See, ANN has learned that Santa's sleigh has a max gross takeoff weight over 12.5. That means it'll become subject to the TSA's new large aircraft security program, expected to take effect next year. Now, this wouldn't be such a big deal if it weren't for the background checks. See, it seems documenting the backgrounds of Santa and his reindeer has proven daunting. And then there's the new DHS requirement for any aircraft arriving in the U.S. from abroad to electronically submit a manifest at least 60 minutes before arrival at a U.S. Customs port of entry. The North Pole got internet access in the mid-90s, but Santa's relationship with U.S. Customs and Border Protection has always been a little strained. I mean, come on, think about it. And next year, he'll have new presidential TFRs to dodge. It's going to be a wonder if he can even get to homes in the Chicago area. Fortunately, U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters announced last week that special Santa Sky Lanes have been created in U.S. airspace to help Santa Claus make his deliveries on time this Wednesday night. The special lanes will include access to the same corridors freed up from military airspace for temporary use by the airlines. Peters commented, quote, "It just wouldn't do to have the gridlock Grinch stealing Christmas," unquote. And I heard him exclaim as he just cleared the trees, "I sure hope LaHood doesn't like user fees." That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about some frequently overlooked issues involved in making good landings. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.